All right, here's what we want to do. I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 27. Genesis 11, verse 27, let's just pray right now. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Open up our hearts and minds to receive from you today. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever shall be. Amen. Amen. Genesis 11, starting in verse 27, it says this. This is, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was eventually Sarah, but Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, the grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now we're going on to chapter 12. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. The man named John Wesley became the person that started what we know as the Methodist Church, the Methodist movement, which is, you know, like a big deal. And John Wesley, before he became who he was and started all the part of the revivals and all the incredible things that he did, before all that, he was a lonely, distraught, broken, sinful man who just happened to be a minister. And John Wesley knew that he knew of his brokenness, he knew of his sin, he knew of his loneliness, but there's a point for John Wesley where he kind of got to the end of his rope. And he just was like, God, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm doing. And so on May 24th, he went to this prayer meeting this famous prayer meeting at Aldersgate Street in London. And in this prayer meeting, someone was reading Martin Luther's commentary on the Book of Romans, because they were studying the Book of Romans together. And John Wesley, in that moment, the Holy Spirit began to move on his life. And when he writes about it, he goes, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation. It was this moment when everything really felt lost, when everything just wasn't working out right. Anyone ever been in those situations? You should all raise your hand. That's right. Thank you. That we all know. Everyone else is lying. You've all been in that situation. We know. We've all been in those situations, and when stuff like that happens, you ever just get into those moments where you just cry out to God and you go, what is going on? What is happening right now? And it's in those moments where we feel so purposeless That when we seek God and we listen to God, that's usually when the good stuff starts to happen. Usually when the things start to transform and start to change. It's usually in those moments. Now, when we talk about Abram, now let me just go ahead and just give you a quick preface. I'm going to say Abram and Abraham interchangeably today because you know eventually his name was changed to Abraham. So don't hold it against me. Deal? Great. Thank you, one person. Appreciate that. The rest of y'all can go kick rocks. I'm just kidding. When we talk about the story of Abraham, Abraham's story is full of these magnificent, crazy moments. And in the history of, you know, not just our faith, the Jewish faith, Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel. This moment that we record here, it's this moment where God calls Abraham into his promise and purpose built for his life. But what we usually forget is what we read in chapter 11. We usually just want to skip to the promises because that's really where the fun part is, right? Yeah, when God's moving and speaking and it's all clear and everything's jiving and we got the Holy Ghost goosebumps, yeah, that's awesome. I want that. But we miss what it tells us is like the 205 years prior to that moment. So Abram is from this land, the land of Ur. And Ur is, it's in Mesopotamia. And what we know is Abram has two brothers, right? Nahor and Haran. Now, if I go back here, and it tells us, it says, here is the generations of Terah, or Terah. That's Terah is Abram's dad, and it says he has three sons. Then it goes on, and it tells us that Haran dies. Abram's brother dies. And then Terah says, packs up the whole family, but leaving one son behind, and takes them on a little road trip, and then they go to the city named Haran. I kept going back. I was like, wait, that's the name of his son. Why is he stopping in the city? He's stopping in a city with the same name as the son that he lost. And so then I went on a Hebrew deep dive. I was like, okay, did we just mistranslate this? What's going on here? And the name Haran and the city Haran, it's the difference is one letter. And in Hebrew, it's not so much a letter as much as it is a sound. So the name Haran would be more pronounced like Haran. And the city Haran would be more like Haran. Notice the difference? No, because I'm a redneck and I'm trying to speak Hebrew. That's hard. I get it. I can't even hear it in myself. And I know what I'm trying to say. I know what I'm trying to do. The name Haran in that spelling, it meant like a man of the mountain. It meant like a mountaineer is essentially what Haran was named after. The city of Haran, it really wasn't a city. It was known as like a waypoint. It was kind of like when you're traveling on the interstate. I just got back from visiting family in Alabama, and you know, I passed several rest stops. That's essentially what Haran, the city was. It was a rest stop. And I find it so interesting because when I researched it and looked at it, and really what they all said was, yeah, I mean, it's kind of spelled differently, but it's kind of the same thing. It's like the difference between a man named John and a John boat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, one's a man, one's a boat. That's essentially the same. But we can use, it kind of can be used interchangeably. And I think it's so fascinating that his dad picked up his family after Haran dies, and he can't make it past a city with the same name as his son. And he's taken his family out of the only land they ever knew, and they planted them in a place that really wasn't even the destination. It was a waypoint. It was a midway point. But it just happened to hold the same name. You know, as a father, I can't imagine the loss of a child. I can't. That's really, really hard. And I know some of you have walked through that, and my heart breaks for y'all. But my heart breaks for Terah, Abram's dad, because I can only imagine losing a son and then taking your family away from your homeland, and you go, I can't even get past this point that has the same name as him. I can't even get past this point. Now, it's important that we know this part of the story. It's important because the Bible tells it to us. Because before this, it's just listing off generations. It's just listing off generations. And then we get to Abram. And why didn't they just skip to the part where he's on, you know, he's heading out and God speaks to him? But it doesn't. It specifically gives us information of Haran's family, not Haran, Abram's family, where they lived, where they stopped on the way, and what they were doing. It's also important to remember and to know that they worshiped a bunch of different gods. Abram's father, I know that's kind of weird. Sometimes we talk about these people in the Bible and we just assume that they're like all like Bible-believing Christians. They're not. Some of them are pagans. Abram's dad was more than likely Terah. He was more than likely a pagan. His name actually is the same name as a moon god in the Mesopotamian pagan canon. And so it's interesting to me, Abram, who was not raised in reverence to Yahweh, but he had something really unique inside of him, which was this sensitivity to be able to hear the voice of God, because God had put a specific design on him and called him to a specific purpose, and the only way he was going to be able to do that was to get him out of the place that he was growing up, to get him out of the family that was holding him back, in order to bring him forward into the place with which his calling and purpose would be resoundingly heard. Resoundingly heard. And what I think the Bible is showing us here in this moment is God's going to have to empty your hands before he fills them. Sometimes he has to take some things out of you before he's ready to fill them with all that he wants to give you. Now, here's what I mean by that. I think Abram needed to get out of Ur, but he also needed his homeland, to get out of him. He needed to get out of the place that would hold him back. He had to walk his father through 2 centuries of grief before he could really step forward into what God was calling him to. Now, I can't imagine, you know, you lose someone, you lose family, you lose all the places that you remember. Like I said, I'm originally from Alabama, and you know, I'm not from Panama City, Florida. And so, I went home, and what was interesting, I opened the back door at night at my in-law's house, and all of a sudden, they live like kind of in the woods a little bit. All of a sudden, this sound is all these tree frogs that are outside. And it was so loud, like it was louder than the TV in the living room. And I got hit with this feeling of nostalgia. It just reminded me of like my childhood and growing up. But I was like, I don't live here anymore though. That's not where God has me. And that's just a little thing. But sometimes if God's gonna take you to where he wants you to go, he's got to get everything out of you. Everything out of you. Haran was just a waypoint on the way to where God was ultimately calling Abram. It was just a waypoint. Isaiah 43, though, says this. It says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing." Now, what God wasn't saying, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, was forget all the stuff that I did before. That's not what he was saying. He was calling them out and speaking out was he was calling out their mistakes. The book of Isaiah is a prophecy to the people of Israel as they're in a moment of exile, and Isaiah is speaking to them as the mouthpiece of God, and he's talking to a people that have not just lived with mistakes, they are living in the consequences of their mistakes, and it's the voice of God that says, forget the past. I am doing a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in us. But sometimes he has to take the things out of our hands that we're still holding on to before he fills them with what he wants. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Sometimes it really is our family that holds us back. My mom usually goes here. She's not here today, so I can say that. Just kidding. She's watching the live stream. Hey, Mom, sorry. Skip over that part. But man, some of us have some pretty, my immediate family, I love them, but man, we have our own issues. We have things that our parents passed down to us. We have things our parents did to us. Sometimes it's not even what our parents have done to us. Sometimes it's like these generational grudges that we got to keep passing down, you know? These generational ideas of, you know, I had a great grandmother who could hold a grudge like no one's business. And like she had this neighbor that they lived next to for a million years or so. And the neighbor did something to her and she never spoke to her again for like 30 years or something. And then, you know, the family all sees and they're like, oh, granny, she's funny. You know, she's crazy like that. Don't make her mad or anything. But sometimes those ideas and ways of living get passed down to us. That part of our family dynamic, that part of our family genealogy, God has to get that out of us because he wants to do something new for this next generation that's coming up. For me as a parent, for you as a parent or as a grandparent, it is your job to give up the things that God no longer wants you to hold on to so that you can give all that God wants to this next generation. Taking it out of your hands and filling it with what he wants. Man, sometimes, like Isaiah, sometimes you just have to release the past. We all have a past. And some, you know, sure, some are worse than others, absolutely. But at the end of the day, we all have a past to release. Now understand what we're talking about here when we're talking about Abraham. Now Abraham had a purpose and a calling, and usually when we talk about Abraham in this way, we're usually, you know, talking about like, what is God calling me to do? You know, in this big grand sense. Is he calling me to ministry? Is he calling me to be a missionary? Yeah, sure, sometimes that's 100% true. For some of us though, that's not the calling that's on your life. He's just calling you closer to him. Some of you, the calling that God is trying to speak to you right now through the story of Abraham is he's trying to go, I'm just trying to heal you. I'm just trying to grow something inside of you. I'm trying to just birth something, a new dream inside of you. I'm just trying for you to see God that in a new and enlightening way. And sometimes our spiritual growth, the purpose in our life, it's not just a role we play. It's a person who we're supposed to be, which is just to be a member of the body of Christ. That's what we're talking about. That's where God's trying to take you. Where's God trying to take you today? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. That's the question that should resonate with you in this story. What is God trying to do in your life right now? And some of you are looking at me and you're like shrugging your shoulders like, I have no idea. I don't know. Well, therein lies the work. Is to go, God, what are you trying to do right now? What are you trying to do in me? What do I need to let go of that I've been holding on to that's preventing you from doing what you want to do in me? That's the work. The next thing we see in this story of Abram is that God's promises are so much greater than any past, and they're so much greater than any fear we may have. One of the things we see in this, when it says the Lord said to Abram, he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. Now here's something that's really interesting. Two places in Scripture, it refers back to Abraham and specifically this moment. Once in Nehemiah and once in the book of Acts during Stephen's message in the book of Acts for the Sanhedrin. And it says this. It says, Abraham was called out of Ur. Now, that's interesting Because the Bible said for 200 years he lived in this other place. But the rest of Scripture goes, no, that was just his stopping point. He had a past that he had to get rid of before he could step into his future. The Bible doesn't even say Abram from Haran. It says Abram from Ur. And so a lot of times we have this past, these mistakes that we've had, these mistakes that we've done, these things that we are completely and utterly ashamed of. And the great calling of on our life is to not ignore those things. It's actually to address those things. It's actually to look at our past and not to, we talk about like leave our past behind. And yeah, there's a part of that that's 100% true. There's also a part where we need to bring our past and put it on the altar before the Lord and go, this is who I am. This is what I've done. Renew this. Forgive this. And sometimes, God's not trying to have you live in the past, but sometimes in order for you to heal from the past, you have to learn from the past. Otherwise, you just repeat the past. And that's the problem. You ever get into those positions where you're just like, why do I keep making the same mistakes over and over and over? I've been to the altar like 15 times. I've prayed over it. I was promised this. Someone prophesied over me that this wasn't going to be a thing anymore. Why do I keep having this moment? One of the things that I think is interesting about what Abraham does is in this story, twice he builds an altar to the Lord. He builds an altar to the Lord at the moment God shows him his calling. And then when he packs up and finds that resting spot where he takes his family, he builds an altar there too. The thing about an altar is where you bring things to be burned. You bring things to be burned, and it says that those things are given to the Lord. I think that that's such an interesting metaphor. Now, this is like Pastor Luke reading into this a little bit, so I'm not saying this is 100% what it's saying, but I think there's an important lesson in this. Before you step into that place that God's called you, you've got to bring all of you to the altar. All of you. All of your past, you got to bring that to the altar. Your shame, you got to bring that to the altar. Your fear of stepping into what God is calling you to do, you got to bring that to the altar. You have to sacrifice that. That has to go away. That can't be part of who you are anymore. And you can't just keep holding on to it. If you look at it in a real physical sense, it's like moving, you know, fast forward in Scripture when they give them the different rules for sacrifices and things. You know, you bring your first fruits, bring the spotless lamb. And it's as if someone goes, I'm going to hold on to this really nice looking lamb, and I'm just going to, we'll get this other one. I mean, it's basically spotless. I'll just bring this one forward. It's enough. I mean, it's not exactly what God asked of me, but it's fine. It's enough. The priest isn't going to know. Was the priest counting my sheep? No, it's fine. I'll just bring this one forward. When God goes, no, I need you to bring all of it. You got to bring all of it. And unfortunately, it's just the reality of it. The reality of the life of faith and our growth, our spiritual growth, it is consistently showing up to the altar to place our past and sin before a forgiving God. Because what God has shown time and time again throughout Scripture and certainly my own experience is He forgives. His grace, the Bible says His grace is enough. And then he says, there's new mercies every day. And he goes, bring your whole self to the altar. What are you holding on to? And see, what happens a lot of times is there's things that we didn't even realize we're holding on to. And something happens and it triggers a memory or it triggers a moment or it triggers a reaction. It triggers words that we go, man, where did that even come from? Have you ever just like lost your cool out of nowhere and you're like, whoa, I don't, what happened? Yeah, amen. That's right. Thank you. Me and you. The rest of them, I don't know what's wrong with them. That's right. But typically what that is an indicator of something that has just been sitting inside of me. And I go, oh, whoa, God, I think this is about the anger or the words, but really this is triggering something here. Maybe it's triggering an insecurity. Maybe it's triggering a fear. But if I'm going to step forward and to be the person with which God has called me to be, which is to be someone who bears the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And if there's something in my life that is opposite of that, there's your first fruits. That's to be sacrificed. God, I give this up. I give it up. And God does this thing where we have to just keep trusting Him, because He doesn't always just give us the answers. Sometimes He does, and that's great when He does. But if you've been in the faith long enough and you've dedicated yourself to growth, dedicated to your relationship with God, you know that there are things that you go, man, 20 years ago God revealed something to me, and now I have clarity on it. Because this thing isn't meant to be a one-time deal. Think about the call on Abraham's life. He wouldn't even get to see the full thing. It says his descendants would live in the land of Canaan. Abraham wasn't going to be living in the land of Canaan. It said his descendants would be. But what did he say? He goes, if you'll follow me, your descendants will be a blessing to this world. If you'll follow me, if you obey me, if you stick with me, your descendants, and Abraham didn't even know this, would bring salvation to this world. Because we know that Abraham birthed the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is whom Jesus Christ was born out of. It's safe to say that promise was fulfilled. Abraham's descendants did bring a blessing to this world. But it wouldn't have happened if Abraham did not obey. And some of you are like, man, Pastor, I've tried to hear the voice of God so many times. I've tried to hear it. I mean, if I had, you know, this moment like Abraham, sure, I'd do whatever. Well, the difference is Abraham lived in a different, number one, he lived in a different time. He didn't have this thing that we call the B-I-B-L-E. He didn't have that. He didn't have thousands of years and generations of history of what all that God, Yahweh, would eventually do. And he didn't have Jesus like what we have. And he didn't have the Holy Spirit like what we have. He had a moment and just a spirit that was sensitive enough to hear the Lord calling him to a new way of life. Sometimes we forget all that we actually have to be able to hear from God. We forget, like, Abraham didn't have the church. He didn't have a church. In fact, he was having to lead the charge. He didn't even have a dad that worshiped the same God that he would worship. He wasn't from a city that worshiped Yahweh. We live in a city with like 1,000 churches. You can go online right now. You can order a Bible or a devotion. You can come to a church, get involved with a life group. You could go learn anything you wanted to about God right now. Anything about Scripture, you could learn it right now. We have 2,000 years of Christian history of the best and brightest thinkers writing and writing and writing and writing. You can go on YouTube right now and listen to a billion sermons if you wanted to. You could listen, if you started listening to every sermon that was on YouTube, you'd never finish until, you would never live long enough to finish it. You could do that right now. And we have access to all of this, and yet we still go, man, I can't hear God. I mean, I wish God would speak to me. I mean, maybe if I had some sort of direction, then I would. Man, at some point we have to have like a reality check and say, hey, get real. God has spoken enough. It's clear. It's clear what he's calling you to. Now, some of you, maybe that calling really is something, that God's calling you to some sort of ministry. That that's going to take a little bit extra step. Maybe God's just calling you to, like, forgive your dad. Or forgive your grandmother. Or to forgive your coworker. Ugh. They're not, I'm not related to them. Sometimes God is just calling you to figure out why you're so impatient. Maybe God's calling you to figure out why you're actually kind of greedy. You're actually not a very generous person. And all of those things that God, we put under that heading of God calling us, the purpose with which God is calling us to, it's different, it varies, and it depends on our life, it depends on our circumstances. But how dare we sit back and go, well, if I just had this one other thing. That is called individualism, and it is crippling Christianity. Because we want to hear God in our way, not in the many ways that he's already presented to us. And it's a pretty ungrateful stance for us. Now, I'm not talking to people, if you're new to the faith, I'm not talking to you. You could have just tuned out that last 5 minutes. Because you're new, and you're learning this thing, and I get that. But some of us who are like, you know, the saints in the building, I don't consider myself a saint, but I mean, I've been around it long enough. But some of y'all have been in this church a long time. Some of y'all have been to church your entire lives. I was born in church. I'm 37 years old. I've got 37 years of church inside of me. And there are times where I even get to that point where I'm like, God, I don't even know what do I do? I'm a pastor. I'm a professional Christian. And I even get to the point sometimes where I'm like, God, that's those wake-up calls where God goes, I've spoken to you. At some point, you can either trust what I'm doing or you don't. But it's not on me. It's not on me. It's on you. God spoke to Abraham, but it was Abraham's choice to be obedient or not. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's time to release the past. It's time to release the things that God is trying to take out of your life so he can fill it. Here's the last point for me today, and I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team up. Obedience is the gateway to God's promises. Obedience. Obedience. Verse 4 in Genesis 12 says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. That's key. That right there, that's Abraham's obedience. He went because the Lord told him. And because the Lord told him, he went. Obedience is key. See, the thing about faith is, it's not static. There actually has to be movement to it. The Apostle James would say, faith without works is dead. He wasn't contradicting the Apostle Paul that said, you aren't saved by works, you're saved by grace. He wasn't contradicting him. The Apostle James was just making another point. He goes, great, you're saved. What are you going to do about it? Holy Spirit lives in you. What are you going to do about it? The Word of God is spoken. You believe it. You know it. What are you going to do about it? Is that going to shape how you live? Is it going to shape your life? Is it going to shape what you do and where you go? Abram, he didn't wait for this perfect moment of clarity. He just trusted the Lord and he went. And that's usually the people that are the pioneers, the ones that step out and do the crazy thing, that go into the unknown. They step into a place that they know is dangerous. Bam, I'm going to tell you right now, following the Lord is not safe. It's dangerous. It's going to call you, God's going to call you into some scary moments, some real moments, some vulnerable moments. God's going to bring you face to face with yourself, and you're going to have to decide whether you're going to give it over to him or you're just going to keep it. You're going to ignore it. You want to step into God's promises? Start with obedience. Start with the simple. Salvation is simple in a lot of ways. The beginning of salvation through Christ, it's simple. It's accepting Jesus as Lord and repenting of sins. It's as simple as saying, God, I don't want my way, I want your way. And your way is through Jesus, so I'm going to follow him. Start there. For those of you who've been saved, you've been saved a long time, and you still got some things you're dealing with, maybe just step back and just go, God, what did you really call me to be? Especially in like our tradition, you know, Assemblies of God, the evangelical world, we talk about calling and purpose when it comes to a role. And I believe God called me here. Don't mishear me what I'm about to say. But ultimately, God called me to be his son. God called me to him. I'm fulfilling a role 100%. I feel called to ministry 100%. I prepared for ministry, absolutely. Prepared for what God was calling me to do, 100%. I'm here. For better or worse, guys, isn't that right? But ultimately, God's calling all of us to his heart, to draw near. And really, that's what God was calling Abraham to. Yeah, he wanted to bless the world through his generations if he would follow him. But his obedience was dependent upon a relationship with this new God that had just spoken to him. And that relationship was alive through sacrifice. It was alive through worship. That's the other part of the altar. It's not just sacrifice. It's also worship and recognition. And so if you're kind of at a place, you go, man, I feel, you know, condemned. I feel out of touch. I feel just all over the place. I feel lost. Start simple. Who you were called to be was a son of the Most High King, a daughter of the Most High King, a child of God. That's how Paul puts it. Paul says in his letters, he goes, man, you're a people set apart for the purposes of God. That's why he saved you. He saved you to set you apart from this world. And this world will confuse you. This world will break you. This world will condemn you. This world will heap on shame. This world will leave you lonely. And see, what we have is this promise of a God who stays close. Promise of a God whose mercies are new every day. Promise of a God to love us. Yeah. And we're pretty unlovable deep down. It's pretty dark in there, isn't it? And God still chooses you. And he keeps choosing you. And today, like Abram, he's looking at us and going, today's the start of something new. It's time to turn from the old. It's time to embrace the new. First Peter says that we're to live into our salvation, which is kind of weird because when we think of salvation, we think of that one moment of prayer. But really what he's talking about is he goes, you got to keep salvation alive in you. You got to keep learning and growing in it, making it real. Because salvation is real. God's love is real. And God's calling on your life is real. I'm going to read this passage here and out of Hebrews 11:8. It says, I love this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And listen to this. He went out not knowing where he was going. I love how the book of Hebrews puts that. He went out not knowing where he was going, but he just trusted God. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to trust God. And we're going to go out of these doors, and we're not going to really know what's on the other side of them. We're going to go out of those doors. Maybe you're going home to a situation you'd rather not be going home to. Maybe Monday you're going to be going to a place of work that you'd rather not be there. Maybe you know that today is going to be the start of addressing this lifelong sin or this lifelong brokenness inside of you. And it's scary. But go knowing that God goes with you. I want you to just hold your hands out here, and I just want to pray this blessing over you. You can close your eyes, but just receive this today. Go now with the faith of Abraham, trusting the God who has called you, even when the journey ahead is unclear, even when the location and the final destination is unknown. May you have open hands to release what is behind, open eyes to see the new thing God is doing, and open hearts to follow His voice. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, and give you courage for every step of the journey. Amen. Can we give God some praise in the church today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.